Hello, everyone, and welcome into the Griplock Preview Show for the first major of the year, the United States Women's Disc Golf Championship, going down in, well, technically Round Rock, Texas, Austin, Texas area. We're going to be focusing on the FPO, which is at Sprinkle Valley Disc Golf Course. There is, I think they said 21 divisions, if I heard
there's
correctly.
So many. I just looked at them all because there's like literally age protected. There's FP 40, 50, 55, 60, 65, 70, 75.
And all the way down to like 10.
And then there's FA.
Yeah.
40, 50, 55, 60, 70. I think for the amateur divisions.
Obviously, and then FJ, 10, 12.
And it goes all the way to novice as well, FA4.
Absolutely wild. But we're focusing on FPO, which is at Sprinkle Valley Disc Golf Course. Watch the course preview here. I think it's going to play pretty scoreable for the consistent players out there, we'll put it. It might chew up some of the players that struggle off the tee. A lot of tight gaps, a lot of Texas woods. Kind of like the wooded section of Waco, where if you get off the fairway, You might just be pitching out, it looked like. We might have a lot of shots of just filming thickets, and you're trying to find a player in there if people get off the fairway.
Could be quite a few.
It's definitely going to favor the wooded holes, which is it felt like most of the course. The wooded holes are definitely going to favor the players that are better off the tee. If you look at just the caddy book, it's hard to understand truly what this course looks like. You really have to watch a playthrough of it to understand a little bit more. And it also seemed to be a little bit forehand dominant. I couldn't tell if that was because the preview video I watched had a forehand dominant player in it, but the lines they were taking made a lot of sense.
Yeah, I think... You know, you said it, the key is going to be staying on the fairway. And I think the big key is when you get off the fairway and into that stuff, you need to take a direct 90-degree turn and pitch it straight back out into the fairway. I think a lot of players, especially if you're getting a lot of birdies, it can be frustrating. You don't want to lose momentum. You get into the woods and you want to try and get out and really push up the fairway, maybe even try to get up and down for birdie or try to save that par easily. But I think that the smart players are going to be the ones that pitch out, try to save par, maybe take a bogey rather than trying to do something aggressive, kick further into the woods or stay in the woods. That's how you take big numbers at a course with really, really tough roughs, if you will, and really thick woods, is not just taking your medicine, pitching out and just forgetting it, because it looks just brutal off the fairways. And I will say the fairways look very fair. So the players that are, you know, getting off the tee and throwing accurately are not going to have a ton of trouble, because I think the second shots open up a lot. There is a lot of tee shots that are super pinched off the tee. There are going to be some numbers out there, because you can hit early off some of the tees and then you can end up in the woods on the next shot. And it's the type of thing where those wooded holes, like the woods is there the whole way, and even to the point where it surrounds the green. So any errant shot that skips in there, you can be 2 feet in there and have nothing. So that's just kind of how that's going to play. But I do think it's going to be, you know, it's going to be very much those first 50 to 100 feet of your drive are going to be the most important thing you do on the entire tournament, is just like getting through those few initial gaps, so that at least if you have to pitch out, you're far enough down the fairway that you can get up and down easily for your par, because there are shorter par fours on this course. So if you're 300 feet down the fairway and you have to pitch out, that's a lot more doable than if you're way back and now you're not going to take part.
Yeah, because that was the danger, I think, for some of the players that struggle off the tee, is there are some gaps that are like 10 feet wide.
Really small.
And some of them are on par fours, to where you might be almost better off re-teeing if you hit that and get a bad enough kick. I still struggle with this event, mainly because I was watching the course preview, and what makes me struggle with it is because I know what could be, which is... they already play right alongside the men at USDGC at a like pristine property with thousands of spectators there. That's the major.
Yeah.
Like it's just this event, I struggle with why this event exists in the capacity as a major it does, specifically for FPO. I think the problem that I have with it is to be able to encompass and get the amount of divisions and everything that they want and the size that they want it to be able to be, they have to go to an area where there's enough courses to hold 21 divisions. And I think it's only like 300 some competitors, which is it's a big tournament for sure. And that has to be spread across multiple courses and stuff. And it forces FPO onto unproven is a good way to put it, unproven courses such as this, when we have Throw Pink Women's at the end of the year that plays right alongside the men's U.S. Major, USDGC, on a proven course that has tons of added cash. It's already a major. It's so easy to just make U.S. Women's. USDGC, there doesn't have to be U.S. Women's as a major. It's just United States Disc Golf Championship, and there's an FPO and an MPO because, again, I'm not begging for them to do something they're not already doing. It's already Throw Pink Women's. It's already happening. It has an A next to it instead of an M.
I sympathize a bit because I do understand. It's really cool that they have this huge event that's only women and it's all women divisions. I think it's very cool. And if I were a female disc golfer, I'd be circling it on my calendar because, I mean, that's got to be a blast to show up to a tournament and it's just all females. And, it must be a really fun event to play in. I would argue, because I do think that's cool. I think that event's existence is cool. And I think that the sport having an event to encourage female competitors exclusively is cool because we need more female players in our sport in general. So I think it's nice. I would even argue if you don't want to lose the impact of that event and you still want the pros to show up, just make it an additional major. I don't care if the females have one more, if the FPO has one more major and it's there, who cares? Whatever. And that way, cause I agree, Throw Pink, it is a much better event overall. It has been for years. And even you can ask FPO players, I've asked them before, they'll even tell you they care more about winning that. Because you can't deny the feeling in the air. You can slap a label on an event as much as you want, but when there's thousands of people there and everything going on, you can't deny that feeling. It just happens. The atmosphere is there. There's nothing to do about it. So I would argue I think the event is cool and what it does, being only woman and this huge celebration of women's disc golf is really what it is. And if you want to have that and you're worried the pros wouldn't show up if it wasn't a major, just make Throw Pink also a major, or make Throw Pink a full pro tour or something to that's the bigger injustice, is that Throw Pink is just an A tier rather than this
when
being
it's
a
ran
major.
Better than pretty much any other event all year.
Cause it is a shame that this event hasn't been run better in the past anyways, but the bigger injustice is Throw Pink not being anything other than an A tier. That's the biggest problem with this. So I think it's tricky.
In my opinion, if this event was an A tier, right, I still think, and you work with the Pro Tour to have it be kind of on the schedule. Everything is the exact same. So everyone has the week off this week, but it's an A tier and it's for the growth of women's disc golf. I think the FPO pros are still showing up.
They're not.
I disagree. I think they are.
Some of them would, but not the whole field. And
I think the important ones would.
Disagree.
I think Christian Tatar is still showing up. Paige Pierce is definitely still showing up. Katrina Allen, maybe. Sarah Hogan would.
Maybe if they're guilted into it. But there is so seldom a break on tour. There's very, when you're planning, okay, this is when I want to see my family, there are very few times to do that. And if you're given any chance, they're going to take it. I obviously there are some that are just out there, right? It does help that they're in between two Texas stops. So some of them who are out there in their vehicles, they probably would play if there was decent money, especially. But I do think there's definitely a chance of them losing players. I don't know that it's their main motivator, though. I think ultimately this comes down to the PDGA controls this event. They don't control Throw Pink.
Yes.
I just feel like this event,
we'll see how this weekend goes, but with Throw Pink's existence, I think having U.S. Women's is an injustice to the FPO field because it's robbing them of a major where they should. Throw Pink Women's, when you have that coming down the stretch, there's thousands of spectators. Everything about it feels like a major. And then in the record books, it's not even listed as a Pro Tour event.
Yeah,
that's
weird.
Just wrong.
Well, it doesn't help that, like I said, this event...
this event has had so many problems.
It's not... Yeah, players have spoken out against it. It's not going, it's going to a lot of unproven courses. It's never going to iconic places. So I think it's had a lot of, I would like, if it were run really well, and at better courses, And we haven't seen this one play out yet. I'm not going to speak out on this course
no,
yet.
No, so we can't say anything about this one yet.
But it is unproven, so that doesn't help at least early perception of the event. So if it were run to its best extent, I think it would be this would be less of a talking point because we'd be like, oh, U.S. Women's is a great event. We love watching it every year. And then, yeah, it is a shame about Throw Pink, but U.S. Women's is a great event. Whereas right now it's like every year there's some popular FPO player talking about how U.S. Women's seem like an afterthought. And then on top of that,
Throw Pink.
We're comparing it to Throw Pink. So that's where the problem lies. I wish that they could transfer. Because I'm sure when you're at the event, like I said, because there's so many players there, so many female players, like I'm sure it is a lot of fun. And if I were a female player, I would circle it on my calendar. I'm sure it'd be a lot of fun to play in. But when you compare it to the other majors that the women players experience, there is a different level to things, and it seems to be treated differently. So, I don't know. I'd like to see improvements.
Yeah, absolutely.
Should be exciting, though. That being said, like it's still going to be an exciting event.
Yeah, and it's still worth double points for our predictions because sure there is that M next to it.
Yeah,
that is one thing that happens here. So let's throw it over to Joe to get some of the storylines heading to this weekend.
Welcome in everyone, and welcome to the first FPO major of 2024. Here we are with USWDGC, and we have quite a competitive field happening here. But not only that, we also have 21 other divisions that are happening at the exact same time as the FPO event. We also have divisions ranging from FP75 all the way to FJ10. There are 350 registrants that will be looking to take each of their respective divisions down at this event. In FPO alone, we have 102 registrants. The Sprinkle Valley Disc Golf Course looks rather intriguing, and I really, really wish that I could be playing this event. There are quite a few par fours that look pretty wooded, as well as some par threes that are sprinkled in there, let me know if you caught that are around 300 to 350 feet of distance. I'm excited to see what these women can do, and let's go into that and talk about some of the women that could be taking a stab at winning this event this year. First off, this might be recency bias, but can we please just talk about how Owen Scoggins just annihilated the course at the Open at Austin, all three rounds. She was so consistent, and she averaged 10.29 disc golf, and she set a new record for the FPO event ratings. She just played some incredible golf. She was hitting those C1 putts as she does, definitely hitting C2 putts. I think she was at 50% on the last day, which is some incredible numbers, you guys. Just mind-blowing what she can do out there. And everyone says that Owen needs distance and she doesn't have distance and this and that. But honestly, I don't think it was a problem for her last weekend. So I think she has a pretty good shot coming into this weekend. Kristen is still very much in this, even though she came in second to Owen, with 11 strokes behind Owen for that matter. She still averaged 1,000 rated golf and her putting looked amazing in round three. Kristen finished 5 strokes ahead of third place, and she was in a deficit of around 6 or 7 strokes going into the final round. She won all 4 majors last year, and we know she has what it takes to take another one down. She's consistent mentally and physically. She rarely takes a higher number than a bogey, and she has the stamina to complete those 4 rounds and make up gains if she has a bad round. So because it's a 4-round event, that means it's more time for her to chip away at the course. Moving on to Missy Gannon, she tends to do really well at these wooded tracks. If you needed a preview of that or wanted a refresher, please just go back to 2023 Ledgestone Open, where she is on the tee pad of hole one and she just pures a thrasher and weaves it right in between those trees and parks that hole one. My gosh, that was probably one of my favorite shots from last year from the FPO field. And she just does it and makes it look so easy. She is not anyone to be messing around with, though. She is a killer on the putting green. She can putt like no other. And when there's money involved, big money Missy will come to play. Yeah, I'm just really excited to see what Missy can do. She looked pretty good last weekend at the Open at Austin. She took third place. If the putting is going well and those thrashers are weaving through the woods, I think she has a pretty good shot. Missy has also not won a major yet, and I know that she'll be wanting to add that to her accolades. Three players that have won U.S. Women's before and have the skill set to do it again are Paige Pierce, Katrina Allen, and Haley King. Last week, we saw Haley King take off the week at the Open in Austin due to a reoccurring knee injury, it looked like. I really hope that that knee injury is all healed up and she's feeling better, because I actually think that this course suits really well for her game and she could have a really nice showing here. Katrina took 7th place at the Open at Austin, and it definitely was nice to see the old Katrina back and feeling like herself again, because she was hitting her putts, throwing some amazing shots, hitting her lines, and her timing looked pretty good. So let's hope that that is the Katrina that is heading into the U.S. women's event. Paige had a pretty rough go at the Open at Austin. Her timing was off. She was going OB. She was either early or late in her release. Yeah, she just did not look quite like herself. I'm really hoping that she can head to the field and figure out whatever was going on, and she can just dial in those putts as well, because she has won U.S. Women's before. She definitely can win again, even though she just came back from her injury. So we'll have to see how that all shapes up. We have a ton of other FPO players that will be looking to secure their first major of their career, and some of these players include Kat Murch, Evelina Solonen, Hannah Blumroos, Ella Hansen, and Holland Hanley. Evelina and Hannah actually have a really, really good chance at this course if they can at least just get the disc close to the basket and make those putts. I think that if these Finns could figure out their putt and they could just feel confident on the putting green, Evelina and Hannah have such a high chance. Good luck to all the other FP, FA, and FJ players out there this week. Have fun and stay safe. And back over to you guys.
All right, so I think I want to highlight three main players that Joe talked about here. We'll kick it off with the main talking point coming into this weekend, Kristen Tatar. This would be her 5th straight major, and obviously she has to get this one if she wants to do the double Grand Slam.
Yeah.
What are we thinking? What are her chances?
I think her chances are about the same as they are every event she plays, about 75%. That's kind of like you know, there's not really an external factor. I would say this course does play to her strength, as much as sometimes the U.S. women's courses in the past have been kind of anti-top of the field. I think because of the emphasis on playing in your game, that it seems like this course may play to, where it's just like keep the disc in play, do the necessary things, throw accurately. I think if Kristen's game is on, this actually will play into her favor. So I definitely don't have a reason to think her chances would be any lower than normal. And at a major tournament, she's always going to have an increased odds boost, just because she has that mental advantage over everybody. Being like, when you've won as many majors as her already, it's just another tournament at that point. So I still think she's the favorite here. Anytime you're playing an unproven course, though, something that she has no history at, I think it does open a little bit of a door. Like, you know, maybe this course just will line up with somebody else's game perfectly, because we haven't seen it played yet. We don't know if it will. But 4 rounds, Kristen Tatar, significantly the best player in the world. You know, you've got to like her chances.
Yeah, and I think the key is that it is 4 rounds, yeah. Because that's just what, when you give a player of her caliber, it's similar to back in the day, you gave Paul McBeth enough rounds at Worlds, he was just going to win.
Well, and
he was just going to get in the
one place. Other important thing, quick to mention, is this course doesn't really have a lot of OB. Well, I feel like one of Kristen's struggles a lot of times can be related to OB and having those just dumb rounds, because she takes a few huge numbers. That's kind of the way she plays bad, is like, oh, there's an 8 sitting there and a 7 on the scorecard. At this course, with not a ton of OB, you mentioned the 4 round thing. Like, I just don't see her taking one of those rounds that sets her back so much that she has to make this huge comeback. Like, she may not come out firing and she might just be hanging around, but I don't think she's going to get left in the dust so much that she can't overcome it.
Yeah, no, I think, and this course definitely it feels like a thrower's course. She has a very solid forehand, which I think will also play to her strengths. If she keeps it in the fairway and she's making her putts, it's hard to imagine her not winning. But with that being said, she just lost by 11 like 7 days ago.
It's true.
To the one we're about to talk about, Owen Scoggins. Again, a lot of what I just said, forehand course off the tee, it seems like. Keep it in the fairway, make your putts. This could be your weekend. owns Scoggins, this could be her weekend. What do you think of her chances up against Kristen here?
I think, you know, winning back-to-back against Kristen, I don't know if anybody, like, I don't know who is the last FPO player to win in back-to-back weeks against Kristen while she was there. It's probably, who knows, even happened last season. It's very difficult to do. So I think that in alone, you know, the odds are against her in that fact. But I do think the course is not super long. We talk about that with Owen a lot, although she may be slightly proving that not to be the strongest piece of evidence against her. But I think the course does set up to her game. I will say, a player like Owen, this is the only thing that I don't love for her, is the fairways are pretty tight. When your main shot is a flex forehand, you need a little bit of right to left wiggle room. And I'll also say, her shots, her forehand, usually wants to skip at the end, and these fairways are covered in wood chips, which means we could be getting skips and rolls into the edges of those woods. So that's the only thing that kind of I'm not so certain with Owen, is how is her game going to play on this very specific course? Is she going to have enough room to shape her shots? I think some holes will play well if there's room for her forehand, but other ones maybe not. And also, how are those forehands going to react on the ground? Because she throws a lot of shots that land with a knifing, skipping angle. So, but her putt is significant. You know, if she's able to gain so many strokes against the field with her putt, like she is able to do week to week, that's always going to keep her in it. And I'm sure she'll be a threat out there. But yeah, I'm not 100% sure what Owen will do.
No, those are some great points that are making me think about my top three.
too late. You submitted it, remember?
I haven't submitted nothing.
It's so serious. You can't change it. You told me earlier.
It's not submitted. I've not submitted anything yet.
Maybe I just talked you out of it.
I've not submitted anything yet. You made a lot of sense right there. That the flex forehand like that? Is terrifying.
you're making your predictions before I am.
Oh, boy. That's definitely scared me off of my own Scoggins. Because you're right. You're right. She likes to throw stuff on anhydrous. She likes to force stuff over. The wood chips definitely are going to play skippy.
Skip.
And if you're in the woods, sometimes you got to go like a patent pending backhand out, which is just not one of her big strengths. She can do it. Her putt's great though. But I mean, it is a fairway player's game.
Yeah.
Okay.
Gotta land the disc flat sometimes.
I'm going to just let that simmer while I keep going. I'm thinking about that one. It's one of those tournaments where Owen Scoggins in the lead or close to lead, not going to surprise me.
No.
Owen Scoggins, 15th place, not going to surprise me.
Insert any name into any position in FPO other than maybe Kristen in like 20th, not going to surprise me.
Very, very valid point. let's talk about the next player here. Big Money Missy. You know, Joe brought her up.
How much money is the purse here?
I don't know.
That's important.
That is an important point. But Joe was talking a lot about the way that she shot shapes with thrashers. And I do like the shot shape of a thrasher which I think is what she'll probably go to, where a lot of the like left to right moving with the backhand is going to prevent those skips, because you're going to be having that slow pan.
She lands it soft. She does land it soft.
So what do we like? What do we think of Missy's Gannon's? This would be her first
Gannon's.
Missy's Gannon's. What do you think of Missy Gannon's first chances of winning her first major? That's a hard
there
sentence
you go.
To get out.
I hope she wins a major. I think that would be awesome. I do think that Missy's had a pretty good start to the season so far. I think it's been cool how she's really emerged these last, you know, especially last season, as like, hey, I'm going to be a player that sticks around the top five almost every week. She's been very consistent. I do think that a lot of times she brings her, you know, the Big Money Missy name kind of comes from the fact that she seemingly steals all this money towards the end of the season.
Yeah.
I feel like all of a sudden it's like she just takes big check after big check. Like she'll take like two or three huge checks, and then all of a sudden Missy Gannon just won so much money. And it happens so quick. So I don't know. Might be a little early in the season to see the emergence of Big Money Missy, but I would definitely say she has a solid chance. She is pretty accurate. I think she is going to be solid in the woods. Like you mentioned, she does land the disc pretty softly with those thrashers. I think this could be a moment, but it's just hard to imagine somebody beating Kristen in a major right now. And can you blame us?
No.
You know, it's been a long time.
I don't like Missy's chances of winning. I like Missy's chances of being competitive because, I mean,
I don't like anybody else's.
For everything that we say about Missy Gannon, Kristen Sitar does it too.
Yeah.
And so that's the tough part
Kristen's a better circle two putter.
The tough part is Missy Gannon, the player Missy is very similar to the player Kristen is, but you add forehand power and you add consistency. So I like Kristen's chances more. I definitely think Missy will be in the mix, though. I think Missy's, I will say Missy's a guaranteed top five. I'll put a Hunter Thomas guarantee on top five. Wow. Missy Gannon.
Bold.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm going to put, I'd like to also throw out some guarantees. Okay. Guaranteed Kristen top three. Guaranteed.
I like that. Yeah. Bold.
Guaranteed Paige outside the top three. Guaranteed.
How far down, let's predict Paige Pierce's finishing spot.
How far down are you willing to go?
Where are you willing to guarantee Paige Pierce finishes outside of this?
Top three. I think she could take fourth, but
I think outside top five. I'm willing to guarantee outside top five.
I think she could take fourth, but be like 20 strokes off the lead.
She's terrified me this season so far.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think she could be 20 strokes off the lead.
That's also fair. That's also fair.
That's what you got to remember.
That's true.
Because I think she was like, I feel like recently she came in sixth, but was like 25 strokes off the lead.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, that's what happens a lot of times.
The final point we have to talk about, this player I used to always say was the greatest thrower of the disc. If she could just learn how to putt, everyone got sick of me saying it. Is she back? Is Katrina Allen back?
She took seventh place in one tournament.
Yeah. So, is she back?
No.
Okay.
I will say this. That's a confidence builder.
Yes.
Seventh place, she might have been 60 strokes off the lead by that point.
I don't think it was that severe. I'll look it up.
I'm just saying, like, second place was 11 strokes off the lead.
Yes.
There was another, I think, 5 strokes to third. Like, it's just, seventh place is you got to, like, sometimes in the FPO field, you have to just look at how far off the, like, yes, they came in seventh, but how close 19. Were they to winning? 19 strokes away from winning. So, like, that is over 3 rounds, you know, quite a bit of a difference. That's about 6 strokes around there. So, no, I don't
Paige
think.
Paige Pierce is 46, not 60.
46 strokes?
Yeah.
I thought I was just exaggerating. I was actually in the range.
But she wasn't in seventh. She was in 30.
So maybe it was the event before that she had a decent
finish. She was in
40th. I feel like she had one good finish this year.
She's went 10, 13, 40th. They've gotten progressively worse.
10th, okay. Whew. Maybe I would guarantee outside the top five.
In the 10th, she lost by 19.
Yeah, okay.
I'm going outside top five, guarantee.
There you go. Katrina Allen, I think I'm happy for her that she had an event that she seemed like she was feeling better about. I hope that continues. I will go back to the stance. I'm going to transition into the stance now where if she were to, like, challenge a little bit, I'm not going to be as bamboozled now that she had one event where she is somewhat settled in, but it's still no way.
No, I'm not going to say Katrina Allen's back yet because for Katrina Allen to be back, she has to be on our lips as much as Owen Scoggins and Missy Gannon, because that's a level that Kat was once at, to the point that last year some of her finishes shocked one of us, and not so much the other. But
I was troubled.
Yeah, Trevor was troubled. I was shocked. But no, Katrina Allen, like, it not so far back in her career, was the best thrower of the disc. She just couldn't really putt, and sometimes that still was good enough to get her wins. So I
Things
don't think
changed.
I'm willing to say she's back because of the level she was once at, but I think that she is back in, like, I won't be surprised if she's in, if she gets into the mix a little bit. Like you were just saying, I would be surprised if she won this weekend, but I wouldn't be surprised to, like, see her make a lead card or chase card.
It's
wouldn't
crazy.
Be surprised to see that.
It's crazy the thing, like, if you took Kristen Zatar out of disc golf right now, we would be talking about, like, or like last year, if you had no Kristen Zatar last year, we would be talking about Missy and Owen in a way that we talk about
Kristen.
Almost Kristen. Yeah. It's like the amount of seconds and thirds that they took.
If you take, here's a question. Let's take the injury out of the question, obviously, because Paige Pierce's injury, that's something completely different thing to bounce back from. If you take Kristen Tatar out of disc golf, is Paige Pierce still as dominant as Kristen is now? Like, do you think Paige Pierce's dominance continued through last year up until the injury?
I think Paige started to have troubles before Kristen had really submitted herself as I'm going to win every week. So I would say no.
There you go. All right, going into the points right now, I got some ground to make up. I'm sitting at 8 points. Trevor's at 15. Joe is at 16.
This is the week to do it.
Trevor's going to make me do my FPO picks
first.
Yeah,
you have to. You put me in a box.
I'm willing to do it. I'm here.
Okay.
I'm going to switch them up. I'm going Kristen Tatar taking it down. I'm going Missy Gannon coming in third place, and give me Evelina Solonen, second place. I want Evelina.
I can't even believe I talked you out of it.
I want Evelina. I like it.
I'm going to take Kristen, Owen, Missy.
All right, and Joe also submitted.
I'm going to cry if Owen takes, like, second or third. Like
Joe also submitted Kristen, Owen, Missy.
Oh,
we're about to be all three, Kristen, Owen, Missy. I don't know. The forehand scares me. The more I think about it, the more I like Evelina.
I can't believe I talked to you out of
it. Give me Evelina. She also was in contention here last year. She almost had it.
Anything can happen, man.
Yeah, Evelina. Give me Evelina. Okay. All day. Why was I ever thinking known? Dang. Hey, that's the only way I'm getting points. You know, when you're in last place, you got to do
good,
something.
Good, man. I'm glad you got to do something. Glad to make that
Chris
decision.
And Evelina own. Chris and Evelina Missy locked in. That's my top three. Be sure to watch the disc off this weekend. First major of the year going down. And we'll see you on Monday to talk about everything that happens out there on the course.